Slavery is back.
Welcome to a place where private business profit from a captive labour force, yet pennies are spent on medical services to a population in which the Indigenous, the poor and the mentally ill are overrepresented. Where isolation, humiliation and degradation are facts of life. Welcome to prison.
It depends who's telling the story, I suppose. The prisoners would have one view, the people who work in the prison system would have another, and I think it's up to people to decide where the truth is.
Give government propaganda and the media spin doctors the flick. And check out Doin' Time for news, views and tunes on prison issues from Guantanamo Bay to Christmas Island to prisons and detention centres everywhere. Every Monday at 4 p.m. on your community radio 3CR.
We are still fired up and we're still talking about revolution.
Hello and welcome to the Doin' Time show. This is 3CR Community Radio, 855 AM on the dial, streaming live on www.3cr.org.au. And a warning that this episode of Doin' Time contains audio descriptions of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people who have died and graphic discussion of deaths in custody and also a recent shooting. This is Marissa, and I will be with you for the next hour. First up on the show, we will bring you an extended interview with Ilo Diaz from the Centre Against Racial Profiling. The interview will focus on police powers in designated areas, and he will also speak about the historic lead-up to the shooting in Footscray and the work of the Centre Against Racial Profiling. After that, we will play you some audio from the Palestinian rally yesterday. But in the meantime, we will go to an announcement and then go to Ilo.
The Victorian State Government is planning repressive new laws to restrict protest, including bans on protective masks and lock-on devices, increased police search powers, restrictions on symbols of resistance such as flags and creation of so-called safe zones around religious buildings, putting significant areas of the CBD off limits. We must say no to this attack on democracy. Protest is a fundamental human right. Join the fight to defend it at a mass rally hosted by Defend Dissent Coalition on Tuesday, 12th of August, 5:30 p.m. at Parliament House. Defend Dissent Coalition is a 3CR supporter.
And in case people have just tuned in, this is the Doin' Time show, and I am going to give a quick intro before we speak to Ilo. Ilo Diaz from the Centre Against Racial Profiling has worked directly with communities experiencing human rights abuses in Melbourne, South America and Palestine. His background is in human rights observing in areas of conflict. Ilo also volunteers with Melbourne Activist Legal Support, providing his expertise to legal observer teams that observe police actions in protests. I invited Ilo onto the show to chat about the police powers, and I have spoken to Ilo about this, and I've also done some extensive work on the Doin' Time show with Tamar Hopkins, who provided some really valuable research. So, and I'm going to be speaking now with Ilo, who will talk to us about not just the police powers, but also to the shooting that occurred in Footscray recently. And I'd also like to talk to him about the upcoming protest that's coming up in August. Hello, Ilo. Welcome to the program.
Hi, Marissa. Thanks for having me.
Lovely to have you back on. Now, I'm wondering if you could just start off just introducing yourself and speaking a little bit about the Centre Against Racial Profiling.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks for that really lovely, warm introduction. Yeah, so I'm Ilo Diaz. I was born in Chile. We came over as a migrant and grew up in the south in Fitzroy during the 80s and 90s. And so during all that time, I grew up in these very racialized communities where marginalization was really concentrated in the flats, from a family that was politically active back in Chile. And as I grew up, I kind of got into the social justice space, trying to find a spot for myself. And I went overseas and I worked as a human rights observer in this really interesting project in mostly based in Latin America, where our role was to bring to light the human rights abuses that both governments and private companies were that were occurring on mostly Indigenous people and obviously racialized communities. And that really took me into a completely different place of a space of working, where it was around advocacy, walking alongside communities, you know, showing solidarity, but also doing media and doing all this work that kind of builds a coalition of groups to change some systemic issues. So when I came back to Australia, I tried to find my space in this place, and I really never really found it. And so when I met Tamara Hopkins, we kind of got chatting, and some of the work she was doing in the research space, but also in the law space, and the work that I wanted to do in the community space and the movement building space kind of just resonated with each other. And so we set up this Center Against Racial Profiling, where the work really revolves around challenging systemic racism, challenging police, challenging the state, challenging authority around racism, and trying to really root it out. And we don't pretend to do this on our own. The idea of the center is to build a movement, to help and support build a movement so that we can all be fighting for racial justice through any means that we do this. And so the work we currently do is usually has three legs. We have a research arm, we do workshops, and then we do a lot of community development, or what I call movement building. And over the time, we've been able to bring in a few more members. So we now have Priya Kunjan, who's joined us, and also Idil Ali, who's also part of the centre.
Fantastic. So really, it's about raising awareness, isn't it? And I'm hoping that this will grow to include legal support eventually.
Well, yeah, and the idea is to build awareness, build education, but also work from the ground in the grassroots movement to really build a movement and support that movement, I guess. The work that I do mostly is around community development work. So I'm in the communities. I actually work very closely with the flats in Flemington and in North Melbourne, and we're doing a lot of work currently around the relocation and the demolitions of those buildings. But that interacts really closely with policing, because policing is such a visible and reality of the life in those flats. so it's about doing that work on the ground and then bringing that up to the research, so to Tamar, to the researchers, and say, hey, this is what's happening on the ground. Can we get some work done here? And then connecting it to the legal services. So it's a really holistic piece of work. We're really trying to connect all those dots so that we're fighting it on all fronts, really.
Absolutely. Can you let listeners know about the police powers that are happening? Because there's so much going on, isn't there?
Oh.
I mean, on the one level, we've got the designated police zones.
Mm-hmm.
Which is quite appalling, which mm-hmm. I think in the end the whole of Australia will be affected, will become a nanny state, sorry to say. Mm-hmm. But also there's also the protests coming up where the Allen government is bringing in, all these repressive laws. Perhaps we could start off talking about the designated zones and also the shooting as well, and what led up to it, because it's connected, isn't it?
It absolutely is. And look, maybe I'll start with the shooting of Abdul
sure.
Fattah and Footscray and then move into the designated areas. So as some listeners may know, Victoria Police murdered a black Somali refugee a few months ago in Footscray. A community member who had was well known to the establishments around Footscray, and he was going through a bit of a crisis in that moment. Police rocked up. This is all allegedly, of course, and shot him, and he died on the scene. Now, the the police and the Victoria Police narrative is that this was an accident, it was a high-pressure situation, and, you know, the police were in their right to kind of act this way. And so, you know, we were trying to challenge that and say, well, no, there's actually a history behind this. And so we did a bit of research and a bit of digging, and we just connected some dots, which were, so back in 2006, many, many years ago now, there was an operation in Flemington and in the inner west, right? We're talking about the inner west, this very racialized community. There was an operation called Operation Molto, and it was a secret operation which targeted African men because they thought they were stealing cars. And so the police force were, for a whole month, just raiding Flemington of any black man who was walking around and stopping them, questioning them, harassing them, at times even bashing them. That grew all across the West, and so many, many operations, just like a kind of spun off from it, Operation Regnant, Operation Omni, Operation Square, so many of these Victoria Police operations were clearly targeted towards mainly the African community, but racialized communities in the inner west. Now, we moved forward a little bit, and so that was 2006 to maybe 2010, and we moved forward a little bit, and we start getting into this media frenzy and this moral panic, and I'm sure you remember, Marissa, all this talk about African gangs, the Moomba riots, yeah, the Apex gangs, right? Now, that was a manufactured moral panic. Right, there was this idea of these Apex gang roaming around the streets, stealing cars and whatnot. They did such work, Victoria Police, to make this image in everyone's mind. But just a few years after that, they came out and said, actually, there was no Apex gang. Actually, it wasn't majority African. Actually, we made it up. We didn't realize. Right, but the damage had already been done. This idea of a black, African, or racialized young person as the image of crime had already been created in the people's minds, especially in Victoria Police. Okay, now we move a little bit more forward, 2016-17. I think you also remember this moment. Milo Yiannopoulos came down to Flemington. Yes. Now, Milo Yiannopoulos is a far right provoker. Spouting all this racist ideology out through his mouth. And he found a platform here in Melbourne. There was a growing neo-Nazi movement in Melbourne in that time, and there still is. But he came here and did a speaking tour. Now, a lot of venues didn't allow him to speak, except there was one venue in Flemington that allowed him to speak and do his spiel, which was right across from the flats in Flemington. Now, that day, police came out because they knew there was going to be a reaction. They came out and they protected everyone who came into that venue. They stood outside with their riot police gear, and they allowed people to go in and out into that Milo Yiannopoulos conversation. And meanwhile, people were outside, protesting this racist, vile, hate speech, really. What happened after that was that community members from Flemington came down to join in that protest. And as the venue was being cleared, as people were leaving, police were actively protecting this far-right and neo-Nazis to leave and go back peacefully back to their home. Meanwhile, they pepper-sprayed and bashed and hit many, many community members. In fact, that night there were reports of the police raiding the houses of many of the people who lived in the flats. It caused an uproar. Now, move forward a little bit more, and we've got the COVID hard lockdown. Again, another targeted racial intervention of massive amounts of police picking out these flats, particularly in the inner west, North Melbourne, Flemington, again, being in the brunt of this policing, and again, being picked out because of their race, because of their situation in society. Now, we would argue that Abdi Fattah's shooting is an exact correlation, and it's a it's another domino falling over from the exact same logic of Victoria Police picking on black, African men and racialized communities in general and assuming criminality on them, assuming that they are already criminal just for being in a certain place and looking a certain way. And then who cops the majority of the issues and cops the majority of the blame is that community, and Victoria Police can get off scot-free and say that they had nothing to do with it. Now, that is a direct, you know, we did this historical study and said this is, Abdi Fattah's shooting is actually, while shocking, shouldn't be surprising because it falls within the pattern of what Victoria Police already do. I say all of this to say that on Saturday just passed, all of Footscray was declared a designated area, a place where police have extra powers to search people. Coincidence? I'm not sure.
Well, there's never any such thing as coincidence, is there?
that's right. And so, yeah, so the designated powers are this very scary set of powers that Victoria Police has, that they can designate any area for a long period of time, that they can search anyone in that space for no reason at all. And so it's a really draconian set of powers. It's police overreach at its maximum. It means that they will suspect criminality to you just because you step in to these designated areas. You just being there is enough for them to search you. I mean, it's an overreach at its most terrible way. Not only that, just recently they've passed laws that allow them to do these designated areas. Previously, it was only up to 24 hours. They were allowed to designate a place, a designated area. They are now allowed to designate a place up to 6 months.
6 months?
Yes, that's right.
So is that just Footscray? Is that a trial? Or are there plans to do the whole of Victoria?
Well, at the moment, they pick a spot. They'll say, look, this area, from this area, from this area. So from this street to this street to this street to this street, all of this street will be a designated area from this time to this time. So Footscray, it was actually last Thursday. It was from 2 p.m. till 10 p.m. That area, what they call the Footscray CBD, was a designated area. Now, they've been doing this for years, and they declare many, many different places designated areas. What's changed is that recently the laws have changed to allow for these designated areas to be declared for up to 6 months. That means that you could be living in a place and for 6 months police can search you for absolutely no reason.
And that's obviously unexpected and spontaneous. They can do it whenever they want.
Designated areas can be declared. There's two types, but the most common type, they need to give at least 36 hours to 48 hours notice. But often it's in a very, very hidden place. So we get the information from the Government Gazette, which is like a very outdated government publication that is very hard to find on the website, on the internet. And that's where they need to be showing these designated areas. So we go in almost daily and look if anywhere has been declared, and that's how we get the information. But for your layperson, it's very, very tricky to find it.
I mean, I tend to be a bit of an overthinker sometimes, you know, and a bit sceptical.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, having done quite a few interviews on the Do and Time show in regards to police powers over the years,
mm-hmm.
This sounds to me like it's a prelude to disaster.
Oh, most definitely. Most definitely. I mean, the Victoria Police are trying more and more to gain more and more power. So police are constantly crying poor. One, they don't have enough money, but secondly, they don't have enough power. Like, I mean, you can see it in the lead up. I can tell you that in the lead up to the state Victorian election next year, Victoria Police will be saying, "We are all these people are committing crimes. We just don't have the power to stop them or to arrest them. If only we had more power." And so the government obviously listens to this very powerful organisation, Victoria Police, but also the very powerful union, and they go, okay, yeah, let's give police more powers. And so slowly, slowly, what we're doing is we're sliding into this space where we're ceding more and more power to Victoria Police to do more and more policing against us. Even in moments like the designated areas where they have no real intelligence or intel or even reason to stop us and to search us. It's a form of lazy policing, but it's also a very, very dangerous road to go down. And that extends to the protest. To your other question, Marissa, around the upcoming proposal for protest laws, these protest laws that they're trying to pass. So to ban people wearing masks at protest. I mean, where's our right to privacy there?
Exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, the COVID is still around too. That there are health issues to consider here.
Oh, absolutely, and we've been talking to government and lobbying them and saying, hey, why are you doing this? Give us a good reason. And there just isn't any. The best reason they can give us is that, oh, if someone wears a mask at a protest, they're probably going to break the law. Well, we're saying, oh, no, that's a type of predictive policing, like you're just guessing. You don't know that. People could be wearing it because they don't want to be identified because, like you said, COVID's still around, they're immunocompromised for all sorts of reasons. We can't be assuming that just because someone wears a mask, they're going to be committing crime. That's absurd.
But obviously there's so much more than that too, isn't there? Like all these laws are really to criminalise dissent.
Criminalise dissent and criminalise certain communities, right? So, for example, the designated areas, I've been doing a bit of study around it and looking at all the designated areas that have been declared since 2019. And the overwhelming majority of them are in racialized communities, are in communities that are marginalized. It's in the Broadmeadows, it's in the Dandenong, it's in the Cranbourne, it's in the Sunshine. That's where these designated areas are overwhelmingly being declared. So it's targeted to a certain community. While Victoria Police will say, no, we know as the communities that live here, we know that we're targeted. We know that the police will come after us, right? They don't declare Brighton a designated area, right? Because that's not the community they're targeting. They're targeting these certain specific communities, and they want to create this sense of fear so that, one, you know, in their eyes, you don't break the law, but secondly, you don't dissent. That you don't go out and protest, you don't go out and push at the margins to create change, because they don't like that.
Interesting that Nazism and white supremacy has become a lot more widespread. Can you comment on that, and do you think that there's actually, that plays a role in having these police powers and maybe having it more widespread? I mean, an injury to one is an injury to all, right? We're all going to be affected eventually.
Well, yeah, definitely. I mean, it's very interesting that you bring up that, because one of the laws around this anti-protest set of legislations that they're pushing is that you're not allowed to show a symbol of terrorism, so a terrorist symbol. Now, interestingly, the government has a list that they say are terrorist organizations. Now, last time I looked at the list, there were only two white supremacist organizations on there. All the other ones were either Islamic terrorist organizations that they've declared, and so that essentially means that you're outlawing or you're banning one certain type of what you call or what they deem terrorist symbology, which is an Islam, a certain flavor, right? Islamic flavor, but none of this white supremacy stuff. And so you're telling us, you know, the government's telling us, no, we're doing this to stamp down on white supremacy and hate. Well, it doesn't look that way, does it? It looks very different, especially when you're outlawing only one set of symbols and not others. So, it does look very intentional.
Look, there's so much to talk about. And I think my question or my concern really is... just to clarify here, so at the moment, the designated areas are Footscray and Broadmeadows, right? That's it?
Well, so to clarify, designated areas, they have a limit at the moment, right? They can only last so long. So the one in Footscray, that finished at 10 p.m. last Thursday, and there was one in Springvale on the weekend as well. That's also finished.
Springvale.
Yeah, and so, again, other racialized communities, right?
Absolutely.
Now, your listeners can move, follow us on Instagram. So we've got an Instagram, Center Against Racial Profiling. And on there, we are actively putting up, every time a designated area comes up, we put it up on our Instagram so people can at least be alerted that this area will be a designated area. And we put a map up, we show where it is and for how long it's going to last.
Well, that's good. At least that's happening to get a warning happening. I mean, these are so-called safe zones, but they're not.
No. I mean, the police are saying that they're doing these. You know, their justifications is that they're trying to get rid of crime, especially knife crime, with these areas. But they're targeted at certain communities only. There was this really great study done earlier this year that showed that every time that they announced a designated area, when they did searches, only 1% of searches actually ever found anything. And so they're getting searched and they're not finding anything. So they're not working. Like, even their own justification doesn't make sense.
And, of course, there's always a lack of data, isn't there?
There's always a lack of data. So we were like, that study was really great because they were able to, you know, get that data out of Victoria Police, one of the few times they ever do. But even when we looked at the data, it said 1%. They got a hit rate of 1%. That's how many times they find anything, 1% of the time. So 99 out of 100 people, 99 of the times, there's nothing there.
It's disgusting. So yeah. Draw the attention back to the shooting. And thank you so much for giving us the historical context there, because it's all connected. And my heart actually goes out to the family as well. Where is that at now? Is there an investigation?
I'm unsure where the criminal investigation is at, but I do know that there's been a coroner's inquest going to be called for that shooting. So the coroner's court will be looking at that shooting at some moment. In some time in the future.
Oh, thank you so much for coming onto the program. Is there anything else that you'd like to comment on before we, in conclusion?
No, thank you so much for having me on. I would, you know, urge your listeners to follow us on the social media, on Instagram, and also to come out to the bail laws rally outside of Parliament Steps on Wednesday, 9:30. Bowles and Slatter are putting on an amazing rally there to push back on this Allan government's growing criminalisation of certain communities by bringing back the bail conditions.
Absolutely, and that's definitely something that we always talk about on this show, the draconian bail laws, deaths in custody, and in fact, there was a Veronica Nelson was died in custody because of the bail laws in some ways. Tell us again, can you just tell us about the rally again and where it is?
So the rally is going to be on Wednesday morning, 9:30, at the steps of Parliament. So this Wednesday, anybody who can come down there, please come along and show your support.
Lovely to have you, Arlo.
Thank you so much. Yeah, thank you, Marissa.
Take care.
Thanks. Bye.
Thanks.
3CR, your station, your voice.
Do a bit of disrupting and cause a bit of ruckus in the colony.
Always was, always will be.
Not celebrate Australia, but instead pay homage to the resistance of First Nations people against this illegal colonial occupation.
3CR, your station, your voice.
This country's black future is a fire.
As the Taco Helm apocalypse approaches us with impending doom, it's time for the best alternative comedy debate in NAM.
Join us for the 21st annual Green Left Comedy Debate where progressive comedians will debate whether or not billionaires should run the government.
Featuring your famous, award-winning comedian, Tom Ballard, as our MC, with the brilliant talents of Nikki Barry, Hellchild, Shirley Hood, Rose Callahan, Sarah Bartolo, and David Fowles.
It will be happening at Saturday, August 9th at the Brunswick Town Hall, with dinner and doors open at 6:30 p.m. with the show beginning at 8 p.m.
There'll be food, drinks and laughter, and special guest, President Donald Dump, leading the positive team. Take it away, Don.
It's going to be a big debate, a great debate, a beautiful debate. I thought of it, by the way.
And all proceeds to the event will go towards activist media Green Left. So come along and join us on Saturday, August the 9th at the Brunswick Town Hall. And book your tickets by going onto the Green Left website or visiting greenleft.org/events. Green Left is a 3CR supporter.
And you're back with the Doin' Time Show. It's approximately 4:31. And you just heard an interview with Ilo Dias from the Centre Against Racial Profiling. And we'll have a song next and then come back.
Times, my friend, I've had to stand and fight. So many times I've been told it'll be alright. It don't matter if you get knocked down to suffer so much pain, as long as you can find the strength to get back up again. Get back up again. It is better to have tried and failed than never tried at all. But when that battle sounds, I will answer to the call. So many years in the drought without rain, but we must stand together to get back up again. Get back up again. Times you can go to the well, just so many lies a usurper can tell. I will bear my soul, for I've much more to gain. You can knock me off my feet, I will get back up again. Get back up again. Get back up again. Get back up again. I will be.
Approximately 4:34, and you just heard a song by Kutcher Edwards called Get Back Up Again. Quite beautiful. And next up on the show, we are going to be playing you some audio from yesterday's Palestinian rally, And a lot of the speeches have actually already been played with on Monday breakfast this morning. So you can certainly look back over the podcast, and I'm sure the rest of the audio will be played throughout the week on other breakfast shows and other shows at 3CR. I actually rocked up to that rally yesterday with Rob for Monday breakfast and recorded that. So the two speakers that I'm going to be concentrating on is Rathi Bathlett from Visa Equality, and she, I'll be playing her speech at the Palestinian rally yesterday at the State Library. And then the other speaker is Dr. Mohammed Mustafa. You will notice that you will hear a clanging sound, and it might be a little bit faint at the beginning, but people were asked to bring pots and pans to symbolise the ongoing starvation of the children at Gaza. So stay tuned now, and we will play the audio from the two speakers.
Our next speaker is an incredible human being who has stood by our side as we have theirs. Please put your hands together for Rathi Bathlett, Tamil refugee woman, grassroots organizer, and founder of the Refugee Women Action for Visa Equality. Please put your hands together for Rathi. I want to acknowledge the land we meet on today. I pay my respect to elders past, present, and emerging. This land always were and will be Aboriginal land. Thank you everyone for coming again, for showing up week after week for Palestine. Your presence here matters. And make no mistake, we are on the right side of history. As an Elam Tamil, a survivor of genocide, it's been deeply painful to stay at home while another genocide unfolds before our eyes. We have seen this before. We have lived it. And yet, Australian institutions, media, politicians, even police, try to make it look like we are the problem. That standing up for justice is somehow extreme. But those of us who return every week, we are not the radicals. We are the witness. We are the one of refusing to be silent. As a refugee woman that who came here 13 years ago, I experienced firsthand the double standard of successive Australian government. Whether it's Labor or Liberals, both parties have committed serious human rights abuses against refugees, against migrants, and now through silence and complicity against Palestinians. Let's be very clear. The genocide in Palestine, it's not just being ignored by the West. It's being funded, armed, and politically protected by the West. That includes in Australia. In recent week, some Western powers have started making soft statements, suddenly distancing themselves. We know this game. They did it with the Tamil genocide, and they're doing it again with Palestine. Help the lunatics commit the crime. And when the genocide is complete, act shocked. Step back. Countrymen, pretend your hands are clean, but we see the blood on their hands. This is a genocide sponsored by the West, and no last minute statement will undo that. They are already rehearsing lines like we recognize Palestinian rights, but we know those words are empty. before, and we have seen what happens when the cameras leave. Meanwhile, in this country, there are thousands of refugees, Rohingyas, Afghans, Tamils, who also fled genocide. People like me. We arrived in 2012, deliberately denied protection visas by a Labour government that supported the Rajapaksa in Sri Lanka.
Shame.
We were then put through a process called Fast Track, which has kept us limbo for over a decade.
Shame.
And now, the newly elected Labour government has confirmed in meeting with NGOs this month that their intention is to deport most of the 8,000 refugees.
Yay.
It is terrifying to be a refugee in Australia today. Let me say this. Australia treats refugees and migrants even worse than Trump in the United States. And the cruelty continues under this government. All while new graves are being discovered in the places we fled. Just weeks ago, a mass grave was found in Chamani in the Tamil homeland. Almost 100 skeletons, some of children, some with hair and school uniform, still intact. In 1998, Amnesty International said up to 600 people might be buried there. For 27 years, the Sri Lankan state blocked exhumation. But the earth never forgets, as one protest in Colombo held a sign, "What state bury, the earth remembers." And it's true, they may try to bury Palestine now, but the earth will remember and history will not forgive. Palestine must continue to be fire, not only in our hearts, but in our politics. It must push us to learn more, organize better, and fight harder. We must use this moment not just for Palestine, but for complete transformation of this sick society, so that Palestine will be free from the river to the sea, and so that we can all are free. In the words of Nelson Mandela, our freedom is incomplete without the freedom of the Palestinians. And I say, Palestinian will not be free until all of us are free. Thank you, thank you. Free, free Palestine!
Free, free Palestine!
From the river to the sea!
Well, I just got off a plane. I just arrived from London, so, you know, again, I apologise because I'm never prepared for these things. But it's good to be home. It's good to be back in Australia, because no matter what the government does, I believe in the Australian people, and I believe in us, and I believe we are the ones that are going to make the change, not them. You know, I have a message for Anthony Albanese, and I've tried to stay out of politics because I've tried to get this hospital to get into Gaza. But there was a man that said Israel has the right to cut off food, water, and electricity.
Yeah.
That same man just said that they're going to allow 30 children in to be treated at their hospitals. That man is Keir Starmer. If the British government are going to take in 30 children to be treated in Gaza, then we should be bringing children to Australia here to be treating them. And I am directly talking to the Prime Minister, Anthony Albanese, and I'm telling him that I am not going away till those children start arriving at those airports and we start treating them. This starvation that we're seeing right now in Gaza, to starve someone to death, it doesn't take a day or two, it takes weeks and months. But this has been the policy for not just the last few months, This has been the policy for the last couple of years. When they murdered our own Zomi Frankham for feeding children, their plan was to stop aid workers coming in and helping those people. This plan of starving the Palestinian people has the blood of Australians on it, because they murdered Zomi to stop feeding those children in Gaza. And I am not going away until we get justice for Zomi and we get justice for those children. And right now, in the last few hours, the Handala ship has been boarded and two of our very own Australians have been taken captive. Robert Martin and Tanya have been taken into Israel. Now, the last time the flotilla was taken, they were subjected to torture, they were subjected to mental abuse, and they were subjected to starvation. Our government need to act. You did nothing when Zomi was murdered, but I cannot allow you to sit by, idly by, and watch two of our very own Australians sit in Israeli prisons and be tortured. So again, I am speaking to Anthony Albanese. Robert Martin and Tanya deserve you to come to their aid right now as they are in Israeli prisons. And we need those children of Gaza to come here. If Keir Starmer, of all people, can bring children to the UK, then you can start bringing children here. And let's start treating these kids. And listen, in the UK, the longest running protest in British history is going on for Palestine. But Melbourne holds the record for the longest consecutive weeks of protest. This is it right here. This is the centre of justice around the world. These are the people here in Melbourne that refuse to give up on the Palestinian people. And that's why I always come here, because I'm standing with you, you stand with us. So thank you, everybody in Melbourne. Let's make sure they hear us loud and clear. And Anthony Albanese, we need those children of Gaza to come over here. And you need to look after Robert and Tanya, who are in Israeli dungeons right now. We need to bring them home as well.
Free, free! Free, free! Sanction Israel now! Sanction Israel now! Louder!
What's taking place in Palestine is horrendous.
Here are some ways that you can keep yourself informed and involved.
Listen in to Palestine Remembered every Saturday morning at 9:30 a.m. or listen to the podcast.
Join the APAN mailing list at apan.org.au for updates, news about actions you can get involved in, and where you can donate to provide humanitarian assistance.
Listen to other news and current affairs programs on 3CR that also cover Palestine.
The oppression of the Palestinian people has been going on for 75 years. It has to stop. You can be part of making that happen by staying informed and active.
APAN is a proud supporter of 3CR.
Kafirs are Palestinian scarves, and they're a symbol of support for justice for the Palestinian people. From the traditional black and white kafir to an array of modern designs, explore the range and order online or drop by 3CR during business hours. Wear your support for the rights of Palestinians. Go to kafirs.org.au. That's kufiyas.org.au. A 3CR supporter.
Have you heard about the news that's come out of the NT?
What news? Fires, floods, chicken flu, what?
No, the payouts.
Payouts?
Compensation for what you went through.
No.
Well, I reckon you should go for it. You deserve every cent and more. I'll back you. You know it.
Oh, sis, you're the best.
Yes, I am. If you are Aboriginal or Torres Strait Islander and were removed from family or community in the Northern Territory before 1 July 1978 or in the ACT or Jervis Bay before 11th of May 1989, you may be eligible for the Territory Stolen Generations Redress Scheme. If you know of a family member who was removed but passed away after the scheme was announced on the 5th of August 2001, you may be eligible to apply for redress for them. Call LinkUp Victoria, VACA, on 037 002 3700 and leave a message for a callback or contact the Territory Stolen Generations Redress Scheme on 1800 566 111.
A 3CR supporter.
And this is the Doing Time Show, 3CR Community Radio Melbourne. And we're nearing the end of our show. It's approximately 4:50. And you just heard some audio that we played from the Palestinian rally yesterday, featuring two speakers, Rafi Bafflet from Visa Equality and Dr. Mohammed Mustafa as well. And just wanted to end by making a few comments here. Firstly, we recently just had our radiothon, so it's not too late to donate to shows at 3CR. And just to let listeners know that there's so much work in regards to doing a recording. You do your recording, and then obviously when you go to protests, you buddy up. You're standing in the rain, you're doing a recording, then you help each other to edit if need be. And it's all a collaboration. Or people edit on their own as well. But sometimes it's about the comrades helping each other. And that's what's really important to me, being able to help one another and buddy up in the streets. So that's the first thing. The other thing is that I wanted to remind listeners that the Palestinian rally is on every Sunday at 12 noon at the State Library. So please turn up if you can. It's really important to turn up in great numbers to the rallies every Sunday. And also don't forget to turn up to the Bail Laws rally at 9:30 on Wednesday morning, this Wednesday morning, which is the 30th of July, on the steps of Parliament. And look out also for the Police Powers of Dissent rally in August as well. There's so much going on, and it's just really important to really look out for what's happening. There is such a violation of human rights, and as always, the Do and Time show is instrumental in providing a safe environment for marginalised communities who are deprived of a voice to come onto the show. And just also, we'll be producing our podcast soon, and to let you know, content warning, that there will be very graphic and sensitive material on this show, including a shooting. It's approximately... Wow. Oh, that's okay. It's approximately 4:53, and we're nearing the end of our show, and we'll be going out now with our theme song, Black Fella, White Fella, by the Rumpy Band. Stay tuned every Monday for the Do and Time show from 4 to 5 p.m. It's been a very long day. Stay safe and take care of each other. Bye.
As long as you a true fella, as long as you a real fella. All the people of different races with different lives in different places, it doesn't matter what your name is, we got to have lots of changes. We need more brothers if we're to make it. We need more sisters if we're to save it. Are you the one who's gonna stand up and be counted? Are you the one who's gonna be?
You've been listening to a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.